we thought we were really, really close to getting a budget done today, heads up or heads down, whichever. And over the last less than 12 hours, we're further apart now than we were. A lot of new requests and not a lot of new demands, whatever.
Democrats would be more than willing to sit down and negotiate a budget that provided tax relief across the board. I mean, to working families, not a tax cut that is aimed at the top 20%. That's ludicrous.
So I am going to be transitioning, not that kind of transitioning. not the Caitlyn Jenner transition, a different kind. I'm going to be transitioning to a higher office. And that's why ultimately I am here today, because I want to say publicly that I am officially announcing my candidacy for the office of Secretary of State of Arizona.
Voters in Arizona across political party lines realize that this is really making a mockery out of our elections and a mockery out of Arizona again.
And with us to talk about the legislative budget fight and the flat tax and Secretary of State Katie Hobbs versus Republican lawmakers and more are Jaime Molera of Molera Alvarez. Jaime, good morning.
Good morning, Steve.
And political analyst Chris Hurstam. Chris, good morning.
Good morning, Steve and Lauren.
So, Jaime, let's start off with the flat tax discussion. Before we get into some of what it would do, and I would like to hear from both of you, obviously, a lot during this segment about that. What about lawmakers deciding to pack up and go home until June 10th? That seems like kind of an extreme step.
Well, it's extreme, but it's because they don't have the votes. If they had the votes, they would have been out of there at least a week ago. So that's the crux of it. You don't have the votes, and I know a lot of legislators had planned on taking some time off, and whether it's graduations or other family obligations. I think they decided, well, let's call it time out until June 10th, I believe.
And Jaime knows this, and Chris, of course, you served in the legislature for a number of years. They are sent down there to do a budget, right? Isn't that like the one thing they're supposed to accomplish? What do you think about this break till June 10th?
Well, let's remember the only reason that, as Jaime puts it accurately, they don't have the votes is because it's a Republican-only show. The Republicans only control the House and Senate by one vote, so they can't lose any Republican. If it was a bipartisan budget, like I used to experience when I was in the legislature, there'd be no problem. You'd all, when a deal was done, you'd have Democrats and Republicans on board with a blessing from the governor, and boom, it'd be done. But when you try to make it a partisan Republican-only budget, which Doug Ducey has done now for 6 years in a row, you've got to hold your caucus. They have a very slim margin that could disappear in the 2022 elections next year. And that's why they don't have the votes. But they will be in their own partisan selves, and they will hammer on the couple of people that want a few goodies or want to tweak the flat, ridiculous flat tax, et cetera. And they'll still end up pushing out a Republican-only budget, and it will not be in the state's interest.
All right, so let's talk about this flat tax that you bring up there, Chris. This is obviously at the center of all of this, and I have a feeling you two might think a little bit differently about this. So I want to start with you, Jaime. Not all Republicans are on board with this. We heard from Paul Boyer on our show this week, who has some concerns about the effects down on cities and towns, et cetera. What's your take?
Well, it's a proposal that was not unexpected, and it started really back in November when Proposition 208 was passed. As you all know, I was very involved in that issue. I fought against it. I thought it was, and still believe, it's very damaging to our economy. And I think this effort is a way to try and mitigate against those, what a lot of economists, a lot of business groups believe to be very dire economic consequences for the state. For Arizona to continue to remain competitive, this is the proposal that's being brought forth that they believe could help against that. Now, having said that, I do believe that there are some concerns about the largesse, particularly about certain areas of reductions that will take place even prior to the flat tax being implemented. That gives some people pause. But when you're talking about this significant of a tax reform package, it should give people pause. And I think individuals should be very engaged and look at all aspects of it. But the bottom line is that they really do want to look at how to keep Arizona's economic engine going. And I think that's a reasonable goal to be pursuing.
All right, Chris, your take. Let's turn to you.
Well, I love Jaime, and we've worked together for 3 decades, but that's a bunch of hogwash. No offense, Jaime, personally.
None taken.
A budget containing a flat tax that hurts local government is not a winner in next year's election, by the way. Even Jam Brewer, former Governor Jam Brewer, opposes Ducey and the Republican legislators' flat tax. The voters aren't clamoring for this. At really solid polling of just a week ago tells us that only 30% of likely voters want to cut state income tax. They'd rather invest in public education and frankly, invest more in local cities and towns. This proposal will cut revenues to local cities and towns. Ducey's tax and budget plan is a huge tax cut for the wealthy, and the rest of us would see very tiny cuts. The Arizona Republic's business reporter Russ Wiles had an excellent analysis of this. He made the point that a retiree that makes $21,000 a year from this proposal is only going to net $18, a reduction of 3.3% of his tax. A couple that earns $84,000 is only going to net $294, a 12.3% cut. But meanwhile, the millionaires in Arizona, a couple who earns $1.4 million, is going to net $26,000 and a 42% cut in their state income tax. This is nonsense. Now, because I'm old, let me digress and talk about how you can believe in a flat income tax and still do it in a fair way. You're talking to a guy who back in 1987, as a chairman of the House Ways and Means Committee, sponsored a flat income tax bill. And you know what? It passed the House 59-1. It was a nonpartisan issue. There was a governor by the name of Meekum who didn't like this prime sponsor, me, and he killed the bill. But let me just tell you that you can sponsor a flat income tax if you desire fairness and simplification, and if you make it revenue neutral to the state, so the state doesn't lose any general fund. Back then, what we did in this bill is every state deduction and tax credit in the state tax code was eliminated for simplicity and because we didn't want the tax code to set public policy. It was nonpartisan, and the Democrats and the Republicans voted for it. This scheme that Ducey has come up with and the Republican legislators, it simply benefits the wealthy, and it's a loser, by the way, in next year's election.
Well, I mean, I want to veer off a bit, if you don't mind, on that one, rather than having you follow up on exactly what Chris said, because as a side gig for myself, I do psychological profiles of politicians, you know, to find out what their motivations might be for these kinds of things. So when it comes to this, when Governor Ducey came in office, as Chris mentioned, more than 6 years ago, he talked about cutting taxes every year he was in office. It seemed like a lot on the right were less than pleased with some of the, let's say, modest tax cuts he did. This is a big one. Can I ask you why the timing of this right now? Is it post-pandemic? Is it because the governor has higher aspirations?
So, well, first off, I do want to say Chris and I do agree on one thing, that Chris is old.
he wears it well, though.
So, but again, I go back to, and it is not a small thing, where when Proposition 208 passed, it was a very significant doubling of the tax rate on many small businesses in the state. And it's interesting because some of the proposals that came out, for instance, Senator Javen Mesnard proposed doing a separate small business tax to say, okay, fine, if you didn't want to tax these folks, then we'll create a small business. And then the reaction of the groups and the progressive organizations that pushed 208 said, oh, no, you can't do that. It's going to cost us too much money. So then you started to see this shift towards, okay, well, how do we create a structure? And Governor Ducey has always been there. I mean, he's never hid that fact. You know, the governor has said he would like to get rid of the state income tax. That's what he believes in, from being competitive and, again, trying to keep up with other states that are being very aggressive in lowering their rates and lowering their regulations. Texas is a great example. Utah is a great example. So when 208 was put in place, this was the reaction to mitigate against that. And now the thing, and I said this before, and, you know, when I said that, there are concerns around this, and certainly there are. And I think there's a reason for for legislators and the governor to look at some proposals that would mitigate against how this would hurt localities. Because some localities, it's been shown that there would be a fairly significant reduction. But having said that, again, the goal of keeping Arizona competitive is not a bad goal. How you go about doing that, and hopefully you can bring over these next couple of weeks, the various business organizations that do want to see this happen, that do want to see this goal put in place, but at the same time, do it in a way that's responsible and sustainable for Arizona.
But Jaime, what about Governor Ducey?
Well, Governor Ducey, like I said, he's always been there.
But he hasn't pushed for it publicly. Yes, philosophically, I'm with you. But why do you think he's doing it publicly now?
Well, I think publicly right now, the two reasons are Prop 208. He wants to come back to the notion that Arizona can remain competitive. And if nothing is done, he believes, and I think a lot of people will join him in the belief, that Arizona will lose that economic competitive edge. But having said that, now with the significant resources that Arizona has been able to get, and I think it's been very beneficial to us, and the timing is good with the federal dollars, there's an opportunity there to then put in place this structure because they have the resources to do it.
Steve, I gotta say, since Jaime opened the door with Prop 208 that he was a spokesman for, against, he was against it in the campaign.
Chaired it.
The opposition. Let's not forget, it passed. Prop 208, the Invest in Ed, putting a 3.5% surcharge on millionaires, it passed. And so once again, when things pass at the ballot box and people get the signatures and they do it on their own, which is their constitutional right, and it is voted on by the people, then we continuously see the Republicans and Ducey try to undercut what the people just passed. Let's let it work a few years, and I think it'll work out just fine. Same with the minimum wage. We saw the same thing. And businesses aren't going to leave Arizona because of this, because the millionaires and the CEOs pay a little more in their state income taxes to have a dedicated funding source for public education. So it's another attempt to undercut what the people have voted for. And they better be careful, the Republicans, because if they don't mollify this thing, and if it stays as onerous as it is right now, we may see a referendum on this flat tax for millionaires, and we may be voting on this again, on this proposal, in November of 2022.
So that's what I wanted to bring up next. So Jaime, I'll throw this to you. I mean, is this, as Chris said earlier, a loser in the next election?
Well, you know, Lauren, if it is a loser, then Chris should be very happy about that. But at the end of the day, a lot of decisions that have been made by this administration and by the Republican legislature, I've heard for years and years, oh, it's going to be a loser. Oh, they're moving towards school choice. It's going to be a loser. Oh, they're reducing taxes. It's going to be a loser. But yet they continue to be the majority party and they continue to have the governor's office. So I believe that they need to do two things. And I keep saying this. They need to look at the largesse of this, make sure that it's done in a way that is sustainable and it protects the localities. And then also how they're able to then work with the business organizations to show that this is actually beneficial for the state. You know, the elections have consequences. There's no doubt about it. 208, unfortunately, I think came out at a time when there was a vacuum in what people felt should have been happening in education, and it passed. I still believe it's unfortunate that it passed. But having said that, this is the response of our leadership that believes Arizona needs to remain competitive. And so this is the consequence of that. And they got elected to office too. So they have a responsibility to do what they believe is the right thing.
Chris, we'll get your response on the other side.
Right-wing Republicans. Okay?
Chris, we're going to take a quick break here, Chris. Okay. Jaime Malera, Chris Hurston with us with Lauren Gilger in Phoenix. I'm Steve Goldstein. Friday Newscap continues after this.
Friday morning, you are listening to 91.5 and KJZZ.org. Here and now, coming up in about 35 minutes today at 10 o'clock. In Valley traffic right now, I-10 eastbound at 16th Street. Good news, the earlier accident has been moved to the shoulder. All lanes there are back open. I-17 northbound, though, the exit ramp at Peoria Avenue still blocked due to police activity. You can try exiting at Dunlap or Thunderbird Road instead. After a high of 99 yesterday in Phoenix, bumping up to 102 today, and we should stay there. basically all the way through the Memorial Day weekend in the low 100s. It is 84 degrees right now in Phoenix at 9:24.
KJZZ is supported by Lexus, dedicated to electrifying the road forward with the Lexus Hybrid line. Lexus hybrids feature instantaneous acceleration and regenerative braking to help improve efficiency. The Lexus Hybrid line, always charged, always ready.
It's the Friday Newscap on KJZZ in Phoenix with Lauren Gilger. I'm Steve Goldstein. Our guests today are political analyst Chris Hurstam and Jaime Molera of Molera Alvarez. Chris, let's give you a chance to respond to the very end of what Jaime had to say there.
Well, I was just saying this is a reaction of the Republicans only in the legislature. They only, Arizona's turning blue, and they only control the House by one vote. They only control the Senate by one vote. The governor's seat is up for grabs next year. And, you know, the bottom line is the Republicans have to break even with independent voters next year to hold on to their seat, competitive seat districts, and to hold on to the governor's office. A few more percentages of Republicans will vote than Democrats in an off presidential election year. So the independent voters are going to decide this. Democrats must win the independent voters by 4 or 5 points to be competitive. What polling showed just last week is that the independents despise the current tax proposal on the table. Only 19% of likely independent voters support it. 60% are against it. It's a losing proposition for the Republicans. They want to kowtow to the CEOs and the Arizona Chamber and the millionaires in Arizona, but they're going to lose badly in 2022 if this thing it passes.
And we may not get to this in the amount of time we have left, but of course there was a poll that came out yesterday related to the so-called audit, and it seems like a majority of independents also don't like that, but that could be for a later time.
Yeah, for now, I want to turn to another kind of controversy playing out as part of the same budget package. Senate Republicans in the legislature are moving to strip the Democratic Secretary of State, of course, Katie Hobbs, of some of her powers. They're going to give some of those powers to Attorney General Mark Brnovich. Of course, the interesting thing about this is that there is a sunset on it. It's only going to be legislation temporarily through the end of these terms for each of these leaders. I want to start with you, Chris, in your take on this. Is this blatant in your mind? Have you ever seen anything like this?
Ducey, Brnovich, and Republican legislators put on their partisan brass knuckles and came out fighting Arizona's most popular Democratic elected official, Secretary of State Katie Hobbs. They did this by stripping Hobbs. Their proposal is to strip Hobbs of many of her election duties and transferring them to AG Brnovich, as you said, for just the next election year. And then it flips back because they hope that there will be a Republican Secretary of State. This is a blatant political power grab. It's despicable. And in my opinion, it will backfire and help Hobbs in her expected gubernatorial campaign next year. All I can say is Jaime and I have both worked closely with previous governors, whether it was Jan Brewer, whether it was Janet Napolitano, whether it was Jane Hull, the last three governors. In my opinion, none of them would have put in their budget such a blatant partisan act to strip election authority from the top election official in the state in the Secretary of State's office. It's despicable.
Jaime?
Well, I'm not so sure. Chris mentioned Brnovich and Governor Ducey as a part of that. I have not seen any evidence that they're behind the scenes trying to push this, but I will say it is disconcerting. I would agree that I served as Arizona's superintendent of public instruction. And at the time, we were going through many lawsuits and we had to work with the attorney general, who was at the time Janet Napolitano. I remember sitting down with Janet, talking to her about how I can get representation that I believe was important for the state and for the Department of Education. And we worked out a way to get that done where she didn't have the expertise in her office, but I had to pay for it out of my agency, just like the Secretary of State does. She has to pay for it in her budget. But they should be allowed to find out who's, in their opinion, going to represent them and their capacity as a constitutional officer correctly. So I think that is very disconcerting when you're messing around with constitutional duties. And also, I believe that the Secretary of State and the Attorney General really should come together, as I did with Janet, to figure out how they can make sure that this works and works well.
How much of this has come out of the so-called audit about what many people are calling the big lie? How much of this is leading to? Because a lot of people who are, let's say, neutral, if there is anyone in the state who's neutral, thinks that both Katie Hobbs and Mark Brnovich are very competent public servants. So how much of this is that, frankly, the right wing, the Republican Party, just doesn't like certain things Katie Hobbs is doing related to the so-called recount, the audit?
Well, I think this is definitely tied with that particular issue, and it's unfortunate that we're seeing a lot of, whether it's legislation or attacks that are being done on elected officials, because of what's being purported to be a fraudulent election cycle, and there's been absolutely zero, we all know this. Look, this is, I would say the majority, this is one thing that is clear. I'm not so sure people really understand or the nuances of the flat tax package, I would argue that. But I would argue that I think they've seen enough of this audit to know that, A, it should be stopped. B, we should just get back to business. And C, let's stop attacking elected officials for doing the job that they were constitutionally elected to do.
And it would be nice. It would be nice if the governor of Arizona, Doug Ducey, and the attorney general of Arizona, Mark Brnovich, both Republicans, would say just what Jaime Molera just said. They have stayed silent on this. And in fact, we just saw Doug Ducey on the ridiculous Sean Hannity show on Fox News when asked about the audit. Let's wait and see the results. Come on. They should be as critical of this audit, of Karen Fann's ridiculous fraudit at the Coliseum right now. It's embarrassing, and it's an attack on our election system in Arizona.
Chris, let me come back to the specific question I asked Jaime, which is how much of this attempt to strip the Secretary of State's powers, specifically Secretary Hobbs, has to do with pressure from the far right who believe in this audit?
Oh, it's everything. Doug Ducey's trying to stay after Trump scolded him many times recently. He's trying to stay in good. Thus the Sean Hannity appearance and his comments there. He's trying to stay in good with the right wing of the Republican Party. Frankly, the Republican Party is almost all right wing now. It's led by the right wingers. And so is Brnovich, who wants to run for the state Senate. He's got to get through a primary. To say that they don't know about what's in the proposed budget of stripping Katie Hobbs and giving these duties to AG is ludicrous. They also deprive Katie Hobbs of election attorneys. They give her one person in-house to be her attorney. Brnovich is not going to be providing any election advice, any legal advice to the Secretary of State's office. That's nonsense. That's a refusal to perform your duties as attorney general. You're supposed to be the attorney for state agencies and for the Secretary of State and so forth. So this is a blatant partisan move, and Ducey and Brnovich know all about it.
Jaime, I want to turn to you and transition a little bit. Steve mentioned this poll earlier from High Ground that came out that shows that essentially Republicans are alone in supporting this audit in the state. How do you think the politics of this play out?
Well, it's not good. I said that publicly, and I'll say it again. I think they need to be very careful in allowing a segment of the party, which I think to be a very, I would say, radical segment of the party that doesn't, in my opinion, represent what Republicans believe happened, to allow this to continue. So I just think that this is a flawed approach. I don't subscribe to that this is this big political strategy on the Republicans' part. This, unfortunately, has been put forward. You even have Governor Ducey and you have Attorney General Brnovich being attacked by the right for not doing enough. So this notion that they're a part of this grand conspiracy is kind of silly. But let's get down to the facts. Audits have shown, and enough information has shown, that these elections that we had were legitimate elections. So let's go forward and start looking at what the Republican Party should be looking at. And that's the blocking and tackling and putting the party back together and getting ready for 2022. This has nothing to do with that. And it's unfortunate that they're spending too many resources on something like this. That just doesn't make any sense.
Hey, Chris, I suspect I know what your answer is going to be, but the idea that we saw about 90% in the Paul Bentz High Ground poll, about 90% of Democrats think the audit is a bad idea, but about 70 or so percent of Republicans think it's okay. And then, we see the big difference with independents as well. I don't think the numbers are generally a surprise, but as Lauren asked Jaime, what are the political possible outcomes of this? Because we're also going to see redistricting. So how much of an impact can it actually have?
By the way, that Paul Bentz High Ground poll is superb. He's the best poller in Arizona, in my opinion. So when I look at his polls, I have a lot of confidence in them. And his poll said that 68% of independent voters in Arizona oppose the audit, and 60% of independents oppose the flat tax. And the hard truth, as Bentz points out, is that a majority of the electorate opposes the audit. And a large number are less likely to vote for candidates who support the audit and the flat tax. So for the Republicans to bank on the audit and tax cuts in next year's election, that's a losing proposition for the general election next year.
Just a couple of minutes
then
left.
You should be giddy, Chris. Then you should be
I would be giddy if I was just a partisan who only cared about elections. I care about the future of the state, and the audit is an attack on our democracy and our voting system in Arizona. And when the governor and the AG don't stand up and denounce it solidly, that is extremely disappointing.
Our last couple of minutes left here. Jaime, as our Republican member of the panel today, I don't want to put you on the spot too much, but I kind of do. A couple of Secretary of State candidates on the GOP side. One, Mark Finchem, who was at the January 6th insurrection at the Capitol, at least was in Washington, D.C. at the time. And now we have Senator Gentivita, who has also thrown her hat in the ring as well. I suspect we're going to see more than just two Republicans or two prime Republicans there. Does it give you pause to see two members, one far right in the party and one who would certainly be on the conservative side, putting their hats in the ring for this one?
Well, we're not even in the first inning yet of this election cycle. So I anticipate there's going to be a number of other Republican candidates throw their hat in the ring. I know of a couple that I think would be very formidable candidates. So, you know, it doesn't make sense to be talking about candidates now, Steve. I think in about 6 months, I think it'll be legitimate to see who actually has the staying power that could be raise the money and actually get the signatures in order to get on the ballot. So right now, it's just way too early to tell.
Okay, we'll end with you, Chris, on this, especially when it comes to Gentivita throwing her hat in the ring for Secretary of State. She's already sort of been at the center of the debate over elections legislation here in the state.
Yeah, this Gentivita and Mark Finchem will be tragically solid candidates in a Republican primary, and they're running to be the chief election official. And yet Finchem was at the January 6th insurrection in Washington, D.C., and has said there's fraud all over the place. And Gentivita has consistently pushed for more restrictive, suppressive voting laws. I presume both of them believe in Trump's dangerous big lie, and both support the nonsense of the fraudit going on at the Coliseum in Phoenix. Not a pretty picture for the Republicans.
Well, we'll have a chance to discuss more candidates. Jaime, I promise you, when more candidates get in, we'll talk about it. Jaime Melero of Melero Alvarez, always good to talk with you, Jaime. Thank you.
Likewise.
Political analyst Chris Hurstam. Chris, thanks for coming back on with us, and best to both of you. Bye.
Bye.